Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL, and I am joined, thankfully, not by Alex Strofe, but by the one and only Perry Goldstein. I'm just kidding, Alex. I love you. You can follow her at Perry underscore Goldstein. You can, of course, find her on the critically acclaimed Packs What She Said podcast. Perry, awesome to be talking to you once again. How the heck are you doing?
I'm good. I'm happy to be back. I feel like we haven't spoken in a bit. Glad you're better. Glad to see you back on the show. So, yeah, thanks for having me.
Doing much better. Thank you so much. And missed talking with you and Alex last week. Certainly missing Alex today, but you and I are going to power through even without Mr. Strofe. We've got a great episode lined up. I just want to kind of ask you before we jump into our main episode today. It's been an interesting offseason. You've got the introduction of Jeff Hafley as defensive coordinator. They move on from Joe Barry. They go out, get Xavier McKinney. Josh Jacobs is in. Aaron Jones is gone. They bring back Keyshawn Nixon. It's been just sort of like this, it's been like a whirlwind, but it all happened in like really big spurts. Like it was like Barry's gone, Halfley's in, let's wait a little bit. And then like all at once in like one Band-Aid rip, it was like Bakhtiari's gone, Jones is gone, Jacobs is in, McKinney's in, let's wait a little bit. And then we get Keyshawn Nixon back and then like a Dylan back and little things here and there. But overall, it's still been a really interesting offseason. Just as like an overarching feel for this Packers team right now, you feeling great, good, indifferent, bad, ugly? Well, like how are you feeling?
Oh, I feel great. Oh, this team's great. Are you kidding? Maggie and I on Packs What She Said, thanks for the shout out, did a little red light, green light game. If some of our friends played that as kids in recess, where, you know, we did red light, green light about how we feel, you know, if we went into the season right now with each position group, no additions, no nothing, how would we feel? And there were only like two or three position groups that we were like red light on. So that's not even where we're at. We still have the draft. We still have like more off season to go. Goot loves to add players when it comes to like OTAs, mini camps, like later on in the off season. So I think this team is set itself up to be in a really nice position. They also have a ton of draft capital to go like play around with and work with. And Goot's been smashing out of the park the last couple of drafts. So yeah. I feel really confident. And I think it's hard not to feel confident. Look, all those moves, they made sense. They're great. But it's like really hard not to feel supremely confident knowing that the most important piece of your entire team is set. And that's your quarterback.
I have already planned and I'm so excited for it that I can't even really begin to explain it. Like once draft season, you know, dies down and we've broken down all the draft prospects, I'm going to go through and watch every single throw from Jordan Love again and try to do it obviously with a very analytical eye. And I am just like, I'm beaming inside to go back and watch it again. Just to sort of see it, because of course, like obviously go through, watch every player and every play, but like in the course of the season and in the hustle and bustle of everything that's going on, like you can sort of lose everything. And to just be able to kind of go back and watch him, because I know, I think Zach Jacobson was posting some clips over the weekend of some of the stuff that he was doing. It's just like, oh my goodness, I forgot even some of those throws that he was making. And it's just really, really fun to think about what he is, what he was this past year, and maybe more importantly, what he has the ability to become moving forward. But yeah, I'm already like geeking out about that project in about a month or two. I'm with you. I think this has been a really great offseason. And I think prior to the start of free agency, one of the things that I posted was like, here's Green Bay's opening day roster right now. If they don't do anything, like if they did nothing, no free agents, didn't bring a single player back, cut Bakhtiari, didn't draft, like nothing. If they did nothing, I'm like, this team competes as is. If they slept through the entire offseason and are like, oops, we forgot to do everything, they would have been like, it wouldn't have been great, but it would have like, they would have competed. And then the fact that you can add a Josh Jacobs, a Xavier McKinney, and we still have 11 draft picks or more of slightly less to unlock and break down, like Man, I'm oozing with excitement about where this team is going and what Goot's done with the roster overall.
Yeah, they were pretty poised. Now they feel like they've added a few key pieces and they're going to continue to add. So yeah, I feel like they're in very good shape.
No, we're in lockstep on that. All right. So before that, first of all, if there are ever any sort of red light, green light games on Packs What She Said, and I am not invited on in the future, I'm going to be very upset. One time understanding. I get it. That's fine. And I was coming off illness, so I'm sure that was why you didn't have me on. Mm-hmm. But in the future, just know. Okay. All right. Our main topic for today is going to be the fact that the Mets lost 3 games in a row to the Milwaukee Brewers over the weekend, which was I'm just kidding. But that was a really fun series, Perry Goldstein. Any care to respond at all?
No, because you'll have to blur out my response.
Oh, that is totally fair. All right. So what we are going to be doing is we each have provided or prepared a group of statements, true or false statements. So we have no idea what these are. Perry is going in blind to the statements that I've prepared for her. I'm going in blind to the statements that she's prepared for me. We've got no notes. We've got no nothing. So we are going to respond and say whether it is true or whether it is false. And we have to back up what we are saying. So Perry, I will let you decide. Do you want to give me a statement first or do you want me to give you a statement first?
Good question. I'll take a statement first.
All right. I have the perfect one for you that I'm excited about. Great. Because it's about cornerbacks. And I know there's nothing more that gets you excited than Packers cornerbacks. So true or false, Jair Alexander, Keyshawn Nixon, Carrington Valentine, Eric Stokes, and Corey Ballantyne are good enough right now as a top 5 cornerback group for the Packers going into the season, meaning they don't have to necessarily add anyone via free agency or the draft. True or false, feel comfortable with that group of 5 as your cornerbacks going into the season?
True. I feel comfortable and confident going into the season with those 5. There are some caveats to that statement, obviously, because you listed Eric Stokes and it's like, well, Eric Stokes has to be healthy, right? He has to come back and play. But I think with Jair, Nixon, and Valentine, especially with what we saw this past season, it's hard not to feel confident going into this season and think that they're going to be like just fine. I know that Jair was in and out of play, but when he did play, he looked like Jair. You expect Valentine to take that second year jump. They seem to be very confident in him. And I feel incredibly confident that the new defensive coordinator is going to also utilize those players to the best of their abilities, just in terms of what Jeff Hafley has said he wants to do in terms of playing a little bit more aggressive, not playing as soft. Doesn't mean we're not going to see zone coverage. Doesn't mean like we're going to have like 100%, you know, press man. That would be dumb, right? You can't just play one way 100% of the time. Yep. But you know, you're also adding in hopefully a healthy Eric Stokes, which is going to also add like some really nice depth. I don't know what Eric Stokes is going to look like coming back from injury. Like, are we going to get, you know, I was about to say freshman year, rookie year Eric Stokes or sophomore season Eric Stokes? That still remains to be seen, but I think he's being put in a nice position to succeed. That being said, I still think they add pieces in the draft. I think corner is something they're going to take early. I think they should. If it's not corner, it's just going to be a DB. Because this just defensive back room, although they added Xavier McKinney, it still needs some work. That also, I think when you think about the 5 of them, Andy, you also have to think that they do have this incredible piece like on the back end that's going to be assisting them that they didn't have last season. Yeah. So you think about your starting guys playing and they don't have that level of like trust and communication with the safeties that are behind them. Now they're probably going to feel a lot differently going into the season with who's there. So true.
I think you have a cornerback group that's healthier, that is probably more confident playing this style of defense. The style of defense fits their skill set better. And you also have, like you said, perfectly a Xavier McKinney, an eraser behind them that's going to help them as well. They're set up better, and I'm with you. I think they add to that group, but I feel at least comfortable that if all of a sudden they get through the draft and they didn't get a corner, it just didn't fall their way. Like, they're still not in a bad spot and they can still add a veteran free agent here or there if they need to kind of round out that group. But I'm with you.
Awesome. My turn?
It is your turn.
All right. Very different vibe. All right. Jordan Love is going to make more than $250 million in his contract extension or contract, new contract, whether they tear it up or extend it. I'm not sure.
I'm going to say true. This is a really, really tough one because this all depends on if it's a 4 or 5 year deal. Like that's basically the question. Is this a 4 year deal or is this a 5+ year deal? Cause in my opinion, he's going to get $50+ million per year. So if it's 4 years, it's obviously like 200, you know, million ish. If it's 5 year, it's 250 million ish. And then if it's 6 year, like then we're in bananas land with money. But, I'm going to say true. I think Green Bay will do everything in their power to try to make this a 5 year deal. It's really, really complicated because there's a piece of Green Bay that might say, you know what, 4 years, just because we only saw it for a half a season, 4 years might give us a little bit of flexibility just in case. And Jordan Love and his agent might say, hey, we would love 4 years so we get another huge crack at this in 4 seasons if he continues to progress at a very high level. So there's a strong argument to be made that a 4 year deal could be maybe the way to go for both sides, but I'm going to say it ends up being a 5 year deal, even if it's like a fake 5th year deal. And even if it's like a fake $250 million deal, it might be 4 in actuality, but it might be 5+250 on paper. So I'm going to say true, but it's a really difficult one. And like I said, probably just depends on if it's a 4 or 5.
Yeah. I think 250 is like right around the mark where I think it will be. The reason why I chose that is if I'm thinking like betting lines, I'm like, that's where the money line would be for me, no pun intended. Mostly because like you said, if it's a 4 year deal, that's like $62.5 million. That's high. You know, top of the line money. That's the Packers basically coming out and saying like,
you're it. Yeah. You're the quarterback in the league. Yeah.
Guy for us. And hey, if they did that, I don't think anyone would be surprised based on what we saw last season. But again, if it's more like a 50 mil, 55 mil, again, there's incentives. There's a lot of different ways that they can go about this and also still make it 250 without the baseline being that 62.5. But I think that's kind of where it's going to round out to be.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you there. We are once again in lockstep. All right, my second one for you. This is a really tough one, and I don't know how I would answer this, so good luck. Okay. Number two, Lucas Van Ness will make the biggest second-year jump of any Packer sophomore. That's a loaded rookie class, many of which already played at a really impressive high level last season. But which one makes the second-year jump? Will it be Lucas Van Ness? So I'm going to say Lucas Van Ness makes the biggest second-year jump of anyone, true or false?
What the hell, Andy?
I know, it's not an easy one.
Okay, so we're thinking of our sophomores here. We're thinking Dontavian Wicks and Jaden Reed.
Musgrave and Kraft.
Both tight ends.
Carrington, Carl Brooks, Colby Wooden. Anders Carlson could be in that conversation. He could make a big second-year jump, hopefully. That'd be nice. Mm-hmm. So those are probably your main option. Sean Clifford could be him. You never know.
Sure. You're not comparing apples to apples here, which is a tough one, right? Because, you know, if Luke Musgrave goes off for an 1,000-yard, you know, season and becomes like the next Travis Kelce, and, you know, how do you compare that to a Lucas Van Ness jump? But for the sake of the game, I'll go with true because you're comparing, I guess, more from where they were their rookie season to where they're going their sophomore season, right? And LVN was a contributor, but not making any kind of splash plays and certainly didn't. We knew he was going to be more of that developmental guy. He was the third rotational behind Preston and Rashawn. But he wasn't necessarily making like the splash plays you'd expect out of a first round pick. And so he started to come on towards the end of the season. You started to see him kind of like things were starting to click a little bit more. They're starting to move him around. And I think the new scheme was going to do some really nice things for him too. So I think it is a huge possibility that, yes, like the game starts to slow down for him and he starts to make those more like stat line plays that you expect from a first round pick. but I think it'll be he has a tall task considering he's still, I think, going to be rotating behind two starters.
Yep.
In Rashawn and Preston, right? He has to play more snaps. I think the caveat there to my answer is he has to play more snaps, and he should. I want him to.
And with Igbari hurt too, he probably will.
He probably will. But look, Halfley, again, his thing has been some more man pressures, like some, you know, numbered pressures. So sure, let's go with True. That's tough though, because like I said, it's an apples to oranges comparison to the rest of the guys who are making their sophomore jumps.
No, I agree. I would probably say false just because give me the field, like give me everyone else other than Lucas Van Ness. But your explanation is also what I would have went with. If I had to pick just one, I would go with Van Ness based on the fact that he didn't really have that breakout a season ago. His numbers like per pass rush and things like that were actually pretty good. And with increased playing time, I do think he has that ability. And just as like, that's his projection and progression is exactly that. So fingers crossed that does happen and it does end up being true.
Yeah. And I think also like if you're looking, I mean, again, if you're just comparing them to themselves last season, he probably actually has a better chance of us saying, oh, he made the biggest jump because those other rookies, their floor is already so high, right? Like how much bigger of a jump can a Jaden Reed make when he already almost had 1,000-yard season last year, you know, whereas like Lucas Van Ness could have like a 6-sack season and we're like, wow, he had like a great season comparatively to his rookie season.
Totally agree. All right, you're up.
Okay. I'll stick with the defense. The Packers defense under Jeff Halfley will end the season top 10 in the NFL.
False. Easily false. I've said this over and over. I will believe that the Packers have a top 10 defense when I see a top 10 defense. When we get to the end of the season and say, wow, that was a top 10 defense. When we have that, I will readily admit that I was wrong. I will eat whatever crow I need to eat. I will put money on the Packers having a bottom 22 defense every step of the way, every single season, because that is going to pay at the ticket office far more often than not when you're betting on that. Realistically, I think they have every right to be in the conversation. I want to see what Goody does in this draft from a defensive side of things. Still some holes at that linebacker position that give me concern. As we talked about, I think we want to see competition at corner. There's not a legitimate starter next to Xavier McKinney. So I do think, you know, Halfley needs a couple more pieces to really operate at the level that he wants to really have that defense operating at. And then you still have like Rashawn Gary in spurts looks like a phenomenal pass rusher. Devontae Wyatt in spurts looks like a phenomenal pass rusher. Same with Carl Brooks. Preston Smith a little bit off and on, but like he's a consistent defender. We just talked about LVN taking a jump. Like how does that group pressure collectively? And we saw signs of it being potentially really good, but can that even take a step forward? But until I see it in living person, in living color, I'm going to say false. They end up with maybe it's the 11th best defense and that's fine, but I'm going to say they don't end up with a top 10 defense.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think it's a long shot. I just don't, every year we're like, look at them on paper. They're so good. They should be so good. And then they don't put it together. There's also just a lot of very, very good defenses in the NFL that they have to contend with when it comes to those rankings. So if Halfley can get them somewhere in the middle of the pack, I think they really just need to be average for this offense to take them where they want to go.
Totally agreed. And if they can do that, they'll be in a very good spot. All right. Number three for you. I think this one might be harder than the last one.
Oh, Jaden
Reed, true or false, Jaden Reed will lead all Packers in receiving yards this year. Baseball season is officially back, and what a heck of a start for those Milwaukee Brewers. But just as we get set to wrap up an epic NCAA tournament, baseball is back, and it's better than ever when pairing it with America's number one fantasy sports app, PrizePicks. I know what some of you are thinking. All of these fantasy sports apps are complicated and hard to understand. That is simply not the case with PrizePicks. PrizePicks is super simple to play. I've literally gone in, found entries that I wanted to select, made my picks, and finished the entire process in under 60 seconds. Also, withdrawals are easy, payouts are easy, and they have an enormous selection of players and stat types to choose from that make the selection process super easy. All right, here's a true story. I did a fantasy baseball draft with my friends this year. Half of my team is already hurt, and I've already used up all of my transactions for the week. It is an absolute nightmare. Normally, I'd be ticked off, but I didn't even bat an eye this year. I didn't care at all because I opened up my Prize Picks app, made all new selections with players that weren't hurt, and if I'm being totally honest, it's a lot more fun this way anyway. This week, I'm keeping an eye on Bobby Witt Jr., Luis Robert, and Julio Rodriguez, three of my absolute favorite baseball players. But enough about me. It's time for you to get in on the fun with Prize Picks. So download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
True. Yeah, it's true. I'm just, yeah. So you say all Packers, meaning all position, like yep. All positions, tight ends, running backs, yep. Receiving yards. Yeah. I mean, look, it's hard to feel any differently based on the way he played last season. It just is. I mean, barring a Christian Watson breakout season where he's healthy for all 16 games that they play, and barring he doesn't get hurt, knock on wood, I can't see a world where that doesn't happen because they use him both rushing and receiving. You said receiving, so maybe we'll just keep it receiving, but they just use him in so many different ways. And I've already put money on him being the first Packer to reach a 1,000-yard season next season. So I stand by it. But for a serious answer, I mean, he's just utilized in such a number of different ways, right? He's always on the field. I think he's going to be on the field 100% of snaps in the offense next season. And he's already developing that like really nice connection with Jordan Love. And it's hard to beat that speed. It's really hard to beat his speed and his versatility. So yeah, that's kind of an actually really easy true. But I feel like you have a different answer because I think he's going to have a regression.
No, I agree. It's true. I would pick true as well. And mostly based on the exact answer that you gave, that I think he has the most defined role in the offense. Like you could see, obviously, Musgrave and Kraft almost like stealing some snaps from each other. We know that they're not going to go with just one complete alpha running back. They're going to sub that running back out from time to time. You could see a lot of people rotate in and out with Dontavian Wicks and Watson and Dobbs and Bo Melton on the outsides, maybe even Malik Heath a little bit. But that slot position is going to be 75-80% of the time Jaden Reed. And I feel like he's already incredible at that spot. They continue to get him involved. And he's a three-level threat, meaning like he can run all the little pop passes. He can do all of the receiver screens to the outside. You can get him on the intermediate and short crossers and he can do stuff. And he can also win deep as we saw a season ago. So the most defined role with him being a three-level threat and them specifically manufacturing touches for him at times, I'll take Jaden Reed, even though I do think there's a variety of Packers who could, if needed, lead that category. I'll take Jaden Reed as well.
Yep. So it's funny because I have one on my list that maybe I'll throw at you now, but all right. I have the Packers will have multiple 1,000-yard pass catchers next season.
I'm going to say this is for me an easy false as well. Okay. I just think they have too many mouths to feed on offense. I think it is far more likely that they have 0,000-yard receivers than 2,000-yard receivers. And they probably have one, but I would go probably under if the over-under was set at one, I think I'd probably go, or if the over-under was set at 1.5, I would definitely go under. I just think when you start really adding things up in the passing game, and start thinking, all right, because I really legitimately believe Bo Melton's going to have a role on this team as well. And when you start adding in Bo Melton to Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave, Josh Jacobs, all his passing options, and then we know they're going to do some reverses and sweeps to those guys as well in the running game. Jacobs could be somebody that in certain games just gets like legitimately 20, 25 carries. Like he has the ability to do that. If he's running hot, they could just keep feeding him in some of those situations if they wanted to. I still could see them going with a running back early in the draft that could also add to that versatility. I could also even see them potentially adding a H-back fullback that could add some touches as well to their game. Like There's just so many mouths to feed in this offense. And I also wouldn't put it by Gut if like he's chilling in the third round with one of those two third round picks and the best player on the board just happens to be another wide receiver. I wouldn't put it past him to take that either. So there's already a ton of mouths. There could be more coming. And I just think it's going to be really tough. And I love the idea that like there was like a three or four game stretch where it was like, well, Melton had 100 yards. And then I think Jaden Reed had 100 yards. And then Dontayvion Wicks had 100 yards. And then it was Romeo Doubs had 100 yards, somewhere in that order. But like, give me a different 100 yard receiver every game. And I am totally cool with that.
Yep. Yeah, I hear you. So I caveated this by saying I just had 100 yards. Not receiving, just 100 yards. So that's why. A thousand.
A thousand total yards. Got it.
So that's why, I mean, like Jaden Reed only reached that mark, that 900 something mark last season because it was rushing and receiving. Now, granted, my thought process is it's going to be Jaden Reed and maybe one of the tight ends. I think one of the tight ends is going to have a more of that breakout role. I know Luke only played about like, I think it was like 10 or 11 games with his injury. And he only had like somewhere around 400 yards, I think it was last season. So you multiply that out and I think he gets close, but I'm with you. And if I had been asked this question, I would have said false too, because I kind of love the idea that this offense operates on a, you know, just a, you never know who's going to get the ball kind of role. It's a very like, I don't know if NFL offenses are going to run this way moving forward. I think it's time will tell, but the not having a true X, not having like true defined like role players, like moving guys around in that sense. It keeps people on their toes and having a lot of guys who can do a lot of different things. Obviously everyone has their clear strengths, right? Like you know what like Christian Watson's clear strength is, and you know what Jaden Reed's clear strength is, but like they can play outside their position, if you will. And I think that plays to their advantage. It plays to Matt LaFleur's advantage as a play caller. And so it doesn't matter if someone ends up with 1,000 yards or not at all.
Can you repeat the exact question one more time? Cause I'm curious.
Okay. The Packers will have multiple 1,000 yard pass catchers next season.
Got it. Okay. I see what you're saying. I'm going to stick with my response then. I'm sticking with it. I feel confident. All right.
My gut check is just that I do feel like one of the Packers tight ends is going to have a breakout season, whether that gets them to 1,000 yards or not. I don't know, but it's going to be up there.
The only thing for me would be like, I easily like a Jaden Reed, or it's like one of the receivers could get there. Like if Josh Jacobs counted as like, he gets like 400 yards receiving and gets like, you know, could have like 1200 yards rushing or something. If that counts, then I would be like, all right, well then Jacobs and
the receiver. I should have said offensive weapons.
Got it. All right. We're on the same
page. 1,000 yard offensive weapons.
Then I probably would go lean over, but either way, we're basically in lockstep where there's maybe a couple who could get there, but just depends on how you want to define it, I guess. All right, I got number four for you. Offensive line is the Packers' current biggest need. True or false?
False. I think it's inside linebacker, but or safety. But it's true for the offense.
That's fair. I would say I think it's true overall. I think offensive line is their biggest need, but safety is definitely fair because I don't think Anthony Johnson Jr. is ready to step into that role, and they still definitely need help at linebacker. So there's definitely a conversation there either way.
I think maybe the reason I'm not concerned is because the Packers still have the draft, and I just like feel supremely confident that they're going to come out of the draft with enough guys, at least competition going into camp, that they're going to feel good with who they tried out week one. They just always figure it out on the line. So maybe that's why I'm less like alarm bells. But if you look at it in the current moment, it's very much a weak spot. Like the top three are safety, linebacker, and offensive line, 100%.
And to your point too, like even when Goody's like gotten past, I don't know if all of these were past the draft, but like even when he's needed to, he'll like go out and find a Jared Valdir or a Rick Wagner or like one of these guys to like, oh yeah, we can just find someone that, and like they fill in and it works. So he's been pretty good at finding some of those guys as well.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you're up if I remember correctly.
Okay. The Packers rushing attack is going to have less than 12 touchdowns this season.
False. They will have more than 12 touchdowns. So more than 12 rushing touchdowns is what we're doing. Yeah, I'm going to go more. I think this offense is going to be really, really good. I think they're going to be really, really, really good. And I think they're just so well balanced. I don't think there's any one player that you can shut down. I think Matt LaFleur is a mismatch king when it comes to game planning, and he will find your weakest spot and he will pick it apart. And he found in the second half of last year when he really developed sort of an understanding of what all of those players did well. And when you saw Aaron Jones come back and add that rushing attack to the formula, it was just, there was not enough defensive answers to come up with to stop everyone on the Packers offense. And I think that's only going to get better with Josh Jacobs. And while I know that could lead to a lot of passing touchdowns as well, I think at the end of the day, it's going to lead to a lot of scoring. And I think you have a running back that is going to be very good in the red zone. And I think they're going to put up some serious red zone rushing touchdowns. So I'm going to say it's over. And like I said, I'm very, very bullish on this Packers offense.
I am as well, but my thought process is it's going to be very pass heavy. Maybe I'll be wrong when it comes. I'm very high on Josh Jacobs. I'm not very high on the rest of the Packers rushing room.
Yep.
And so when it comes to like red zone, I'm sure Josh Jacobs will be great in the red zone. I don't feel confident, like I said, about the rest of that room in the red zone historically. And I think it's going to lead to a lot of passing touchdowns. It's just my thought process there.
Could totally be. I just think they're going to stay balanced. And I think that balance is going to set up some of those explosive passing plays. And I also just think, like, just being a really good offense, you're just going to end up with some like pass interferences that go to the 1 yard line or some plays that you get you inside the 10, where I think Jacobs is just going to be super successful in that area. So I'm hoping they just score a crap ton of touchdowns and they can have both all of their passing touchdowns and all of their rushing touchdowns. All right. I've got like 7 left and it's really difficult for me to narrow down which one I want to ask you. We might go lightning round at the end. But I'm going to, my last legitimate one here, number 5, true or false, the Packers will select at pick number 25 in the draft.
False. They never pick where they're supposed to. I think, honestly, I don't think the Packers need 11 players. And I can't imagine them using all 11 picks. That doesn't mean that they're going to not pick at 25, and they could move around the board in other areas. I just very much envision Goot utilizing all that capital and moving around for players that he wants. And that typically means doing that in early rounds for the players you value the most, right? So whether that's up, whether that's down, remains to be seen. But 25 is also just a very strange place to pick in the first round. It's just a kind of a weird, like, no man's landy.
Yeah.
But, obviously, it remains to be seen the way the board falls.
To your point, a variety of different things. Like Goody's been giddy when he's talked 3 times this offseason, and every time he's like, I got all these picks and I can trade and I can move around. Like he's like beaming when talking about all of the, and he's literally brought up on his own accord the flexibility to move around, and specifically brought up the first few days, like those top 100 picks, as the ability to move around. So that to me totally makes sense. To your other point at pick 25, and where you talk about being in no man's land, I talked about this the other day on, I don't know, something I was on, but like you end up with this situation where you're at pick 20, and you might have one or two guys left with first round grades on your board. And then you want to aggressively potentially move up and try to make sure that you get one of those two guys, even if it's only, three or four picks up, especially if all of a sudden pick 20 takes one of those two guys and all of a sudden there's only one guy left. Now you're calling every single pick. Can we get to 21 to get our last first rounder? Can we get to 22 to get our last first rounder? Or vice versa, you're at pick 25. You had 19, 20 guys that had first round grades that went picks 19 through 20. you get to pick 25. You look at your board and you've got 20 guys remaining that all have the same grade, at which point you're like, well, we don't need to take one now. We can go back 20 picks and we still have somebody with the exact same grade as we have right now. So I do think there's a possibility. It's really hard for me to pin somebody that they would be maybe like aggressively moving up for in this draft, but they're still in that spot where anything is possible and Gut's got ammo and knows how to use it.
Yep, exactly. I agree.
All right, what's number five?
So since he got drafted, the Packers' newest safety has been the highest rated safety. This is just per PFF, so you can take that with a grain of salt, but he has been the highest rated safety per PFF in the NFL every year since he's been drafted. So Xavier McKinney will continue to be the highest rated safety in the NFL next season.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I'm all in. I watched him and I really, really liked him. And then after I watched Xavier McKinney, I went and watched every other free agent safety. And there's some really good ones, the Justin Simmons, the Julian Blackmans, the Jordan Fullers, and so on and so forth. And every single time, all I could do is just go back like, oh, this is good, but this is not Xavier McKinney. And I go to like Justin Simmons, be like, oh, this is good. This is not Xavier McKinney. And I'm like, and then I went back and I watched Xavier McKinney. I'm like, oh yeah, this is the stuff. This is so good. And I just think he has the ability to do everything. And he is an eraser on the back end. He can get sideline to sideline. He can be a disruptor. He can be a playmaker, meaning getting his hands on the ball and actually picking it off, which is something Green Bay struggled with so much a season ago. He's one of the best tackling safeties in the entire NFL. And he can cover. You can also, if you want to, depending on who they get at that other safety spot, if that other safety is a really good post safety too, you can play Xavier McKinney in the box too. You can blitz him. You can do everything with him. And that's what makes him so valuable. He does not strike me as a person. This is a captain for the New York Giants. This does not strike me as a person that is all of a sudden going to get paid and just mail it in. I think he's going to continue on at an extremely high level. Could not be more excited about Xavier McKinney. And I think he's going to be as advertised. And as Brian Gutekunst said, the next 3 years should be the best 3 years of Xavier McKinney's career. And that trajectory should only keep going up. So I'm all in, even as good, if not better.
Yeah, I'm with you. He also, on top of everything you just said, because I agree, seems really hyped to be playing in Green Bay. And I don't know if you've noticed that, but like every interview, every social media interaction, everything, he seems super happy to be in Green Bay, to be on this defense, to be playing for Jeff Hafley. And that kind of energy, he's going to bring that energy when he plays on the field as well.
Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney have had nothing to play for in their respective cities in their entire careers for the most part. I think they've both had, I know Jacobs had, I think, one playoff game. I can't remember if McKinney had one or two. I think he had two maybe, but like they've had nothing to play for through their entire career basically. And now you're coming to a team that is on the rise with Jordan Love at quarterback, that's going out and spending big money on these players, that still has those 11 draft picks. They have every right to be excited. Like they're going to be competing in the playoffs, for the playoffs, and hopefully beyond. I'm sure they are super pumped and they have every right to be.
Yeah.
All right, I've got lightning round for you, because I've got three, four. I've got five left, so you don't have to go in any depth or detail. You can just say true or false, and if you want to add something quick, you can. But we'll just go through these lightning. True or false? Jordan Love is a regression candidate in 2024.
True, but only because he had such an amazing 2023 that to top 2023 is going to be, the bar is really high.
It has to be true because he's at least in some way a regression candidate. The likelihood leans in the fact that he won't regress, but he at least has to be in the conversation of like he could regress. But I think both of us are on the same page where we don't expect that to happen. All right, number two, true or false, the Packers should draft a quarterback in the draft.
Should. I think the Packers should always get talent in that room. And I fully expect the Packers to draft a quarterback in this draft.
Yeah, should's the interesting word. I think they easily could. I have no issue with them drafting the quarterback. I don't know that they should. It's just, it's dependent upon who's available, but I have no issue with them taking a quarterback whatsoever. Just not on like day one or two. I guess like if it's the last third round pick and it's somebody that fell unexpectedly, I still could get behind it if it's the right person, but day three is the way to do that. All right. Number three, true or false, Anders Carlson will be the Packers kicker to start the season.
Ooh. Oh my God, this is the hardest one you've asked me.
Wow, I should have put this one in the actual ones.
Because they just brought in Greg Joseph.
No guarantee for Greg Joseph, meaning he got zero guaranteed dollars. So they can cut him and there's no penalty whatsoever.
I'm going to say true because the Packers hang on to their guys typically, even to the detriment maybe. But I want to believe in Anders and I want to believe in their draft pick. So I'm going to go with true.
I'm true as well. All right. Number four, AJ Dillon will make the Packers 53-man roster.
True.
I think so too. And then last but not least, this is a fun one. I kind of wanted to ask this one, but we'll end here unless you have other ones that you want to ask. But Carl Brooks will be the Packers' second best defensive lineman this season.
Oh my God. False. I'm all in on Devonta Wyatt making that leap, but maybe that's just me hoping for our first round picks turning out.
I think it's between Wyatt and Brooks. I think either of them could do it. I'm still very bullish on Devonta Wyatt. I think he has the ability to break out in a major way. Man, I love me some Carl Brooks, so I wouldn't be mad if it was Carl Brooks either.
I mean, whoever wants to be the one to make an impact, fine by me. Yeah, so.
Totally works. Did you have any other ones that you wanted to shout out there? You're good? No. You exhausted your list?
Yeah.
All right, deal. All right, any final thoughts, any other plugs, anything else you want to go over before we get out of here?
No, this was super fun. Always good talking off-season content with you. I'm ready for the draft. One last plug for PAX, what she said, stay tuned. We have kind of an exciting update that will be coming out soon. So I'm not going to say anything else. Just wait and watch. You can follow us at PWSS Podcast on Twitter.
Not to spoil it, but they're actually starting a Bears podcast as well. So that is, that's a big news. Make sure to go check them out over on Packs What She Said. Of course, you can follow the podcast at Packaday Podcast. You can follow me at Andy Herman NFL. And of course, Perry at Perry _ Goldstein. That's going to do it for us today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.